It's List-Based Podcast Week, and Stick Figure Squad is the box that we have to check on today's show. Can they teach us the three secrets to a successful list podcast? Find out on this episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. Welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett. The Stick Figure Squad is working hard on their list podcast entry. We'll eavesdrop on Kristen and Bobby's coaching session with Tom, and at the end of the show, hear their finished submission. But before any of that, let's touch base with Kristen. With Kristen of Stick Figure Squad. Hello, Kristen.
Hello, Brian.
Lost one third of your team last night. See, as we get to smaller teams, it becomes a bigger and bigger chunk when we have to let somebody go out of the teams.
Yeah, it was quite the upset.
It was, and it was an emotional one as well, because, you know, as we spend more and more time with all of you doing this, we get more and more fond of you, and becomes harder and harder to vote one of you guys out. And I don't envy the judges and all the stuff that they have to go through in dealing with that.
Oh, I for sure don't either.
So, coming off of investigations, moving on to what I'm hoping is a little bit of an easier task, which is coming up the list. Is it so far proving to be an easier one, or does it still seem like it's going to be a tricky one for you guys?
It seems to be a little bit better. I think just two minds that both me and Bobby have been with one another from the start, so we've gotten to know each other pretty well.
Wow, yeah, I never even thought about that. Yeah, he's in the contest, he's the person you've been podcasting with longer, almost as long as Gabriel.
Right. So it's, and I'm used to that dynamic, two on two. So it's enjoyable to work with Bobby. And we are kind of narrowing down our subjects so that we can start researching and really come at it in a confident way.
Yeah. And I think, do you guys feel like it's an advantage to also to the number of voices on a show for something like this, where if you had three or four or five people all trying to give opinions on a top, whatever, however many number list, you know, having two is kind of a lean, mean,
right,
kind of machine for this sort of thing. Yeah,
we definitely are gonna benefit, I think, from having it just be two people. I know last week we kind of struggled with a format that made sense for there to be three people, and having it come off as a strong podcast. And, you know, unfortunately, Melissa did end up getting sent home. But I think we just got to the point where we needed to work well as a group. And some of that kind of butted heads with three minds. So
yeah.
That does happen. But we definitely are lean and back at it to start producing some stronger podcasts again.
Yeah, especially with three people who are like thrown together. When did Stick Figure Squad start? 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago?
About, it would have been a month. 4 weeks was four challenges.
That's right. Yeah, it's like throwing cats into a burlap bag and expecting them to get along. It just doesn't happen. But, you know, it makes great reality show stuff, right?
Right. That's for sure. And Melissa did a great job with what she was dealing and pushing herself to do something outside of her comfort zone.
Great. Now, are you guys finding part of this challenge difficult with making sure that your podcast fits into a larger series, a larger list series podcast? Or when you get your subject matter, do you think it's going to be pretty easy to say, okay, well, the bigger picture is going to be this?
I think once we narrow down our subject matter, it will be much easier to make it seem like a series.
Sure.
With two people going back and forth and doing the round robin, I think we're going to cut tight on time. So we kind of want to come up with a grand scheme of ideas and then boil down to a specific episode podcast.
Very good. And what's your, I won't ask what your subject matter is, but how many items are you going to try to fit in your list? Or do you know yet?
We're not sure yet. We're going to gonna talk to Tom and see what works for us and what we think will fit as compelling.
Good, good. Yeah, that's probably the best way around it, or best way to do it. And trying to come up with your number before you come up with your subject. I don't even know why I asked that, because who would do something crazy like that? Well, very good. Well, I'm really excited to hear what Tom gives you as far as advice. I think it's an area that I don't know if Tom, I guess Tom does stuff like that on Current Geek, and a lot of his shows are kind of a list in the grand scheme of things, maybe not a per episode basis, but, you know, lists are usually opinions, and Tom has opinions, so he should be able to give you some ideas on where to go with that.
Yeah, I'm excited to speak with Tom and get some good ideas for him as far as narrowing down our topic.
Excellent. Well, I'm excited to hear what you guys come up with, and we'll be hearing that later on in the show. Thanks, Kristen.
Absolutely. Thanks, Brian.
Let's see how things went when they met with the coach, Tom Merritt.
Stick Figure hey, Squad, how you doing?
Doing good, coach.
Good.
Good job. Good job. Keeping that attitude positive. I am very excited about this challenge because I started a list show at CNET in 2006 is still going. I, as Actar, host it. And I also still do a top five for Tech Republic, which I've been doing for like 5 years now. So the list format is very close to my heart.
Well, awesome.
What are you guys thinking of doing?
Well, we're going to butcher it, I think.
Okay, good. I like the start. Tell me more.
So the way we started this conversation on Monday night when we first got the challenge was we thought, let's approach it first from what is it that Kristen and I, what is it that we both find interesting and could passionately talk about together? And let's start from there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we came up with some ideas of like... I think what we landed on, I won't go walk you through the entire journey, but what we landed on was we're both interested in like psychology and brain stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we had an idea of doing something that was like, and this was obviously going to be just the topic of the particular episode we're doing, but like the top X ways, you know, X being the number, top X ways that your brain is tricking you every day. And it would be like going through like the most common ways that your brain is making mistakes or interpreting things for you and you don't realize it or something like that, that so that we could have, you know, the idea being that this list would be sort of like a skeleton or an excuse for having a conversation about these things.
Right.
So you would do like introduce, you know, number three, visual misperception, and then have a little conversation between the two of you about it. Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah, kind of tell the back history of it, or at least sum up what we mean by the number, and then probably have a conversation or somebody tells a story about when it's happened to them or something like that. More relatable.
When you say what you mean by the number, you mean like justifying its position on the ranking?
Yeah.
You can do that. It's fine. And you certainly probably want to do it for like, and the reason this one is number one, but I wouldn't get too hung up with that. You only have 10 minutes and it really doesn't matter. That is one of the things I've learned about lists is it's all opinion. You're not scientifically ranking like the trickiest thing that your mind does. Like you can even use those words in your list to make it exciting, but it's not actually true. And I don't think anybody really expects it to be true. So, you know, it depends on how much time you have, but I would spend more time explaining why this is on a list at all, why it's tricky and why it tricks you and all that. I think that's where your fertile ground for content is.
All right, cool. That's good. Because again, like it's I can come up with tons of different things, and I think the trick the difficulty we're having is
making it a top five list then instead of just like almost a checklist.
Okay, so here's the trick that I have learned to trick my own brain on that. Tech Republic, I no longer do top five, and the number one, I do five things to know about. I do that a lot. Now, okay. Occasionally I'll actually do top five and do a ranking, like the most innovative city is, et cetera. But very often I'll do like five things to know about CapEx versus OpEx, because I mean, those are just five things. Like, there's no like the number one thing to know about capital expenditures versus operational expenditures, right? There, it's just a way of delivering five interesting things. And that's kind of what you got going on here. So you could approach it that way.
Okay.
So saying something like just the five most common ways your brain is tricking you every day, that works. Like,
yes, exactly. Okay. But instead of most common, which makes me go, oh, so they're common, I would do like the five craziest things your brain does to trick you.
So right, clickbait. Okay. Got it.
Yeah, a little bit. As long as it's not a full-on lie. They're crazy, right? That's otherwise you wouldn't be interested in them. You just got to paint that a little bit.
Right, oh. Like crazy or surprising. Or
surprising. Crazy. Yeah, absolutely.
Tricking you that you're not aware of or something like that.
Number three will knock you out. No, you don't have to do that.
Right. Well, that's good. That I think that makes me feel better, because it feels like we're going in the right direction then.
And it's still
kind of, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Kristen.
We're kind of struggling with figuring out how to make it feel like a series of podcasts. Like, we kind of started with, Bobby came up with a great name, like the Humanist Handbook, and have it be like, these are some things and seem more like we are like almost life hacks and stuff like that, that would be the series basically. But we're having a hard time coming up with basically like an umbrella of why we'd be having this.
You know, you could go that route of Humanist Handbook, and like every week we tell you five things about being a human that are interesting and surprising, right? Like, yeah. you could definitely make that work. Or because it's lists, you could just say it's a list show. It's, you know, five ways. Every week we tell you five new things, five ways that something is going to surprise you or make your life better.
Right.
You can really simply just call it a list show.
Okay.
Like Five Jive would be a horrible name. Don't use that. But you know, you could go that direction where you're just like using the number and some other words. Like, that's the beauty of a list show, is what will get people through the door if they see this in a podcast catalog is the fact that it's a list. People love lists.
Yeah, I think what the challenge with me is that kind of show just is not interesting to me, so it's hard for me to relate to what other people would find interesting. But
what if it's Psych 5? You know, every week, five things from the world of psychology.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah, I was thinking, that's not a bad idea.
I mean, settle on that, but you could use that as a jumping off point.
But that's a good direction.
Unless you want to use Five Jive. I don't know.
Trademark Tom Merritt.
I think that one's public domain.
I think what I like about it is that it's it just says what it is, and that's what I like in a title for a podcast.
And that's what that's where I'm going with this. All kidding aside, you've got a list show. You can just call it a list show somehow that sounds interesting, and you don't have to get fancier than that.
Because we kind of struggled with that because we didn't want to get dinged like last week's judges kind of dinged the other group on Paycheck to Paycheck didn't seem like the correct title of the podcast.
Well,
so we just were trying to stay away from that.
The thing with Paycheck to Paycheck was it didn't fit what they delivered. If they had delivered a show that was like, okay, here's another example of people living paycheck to paycheck, and made that very clear, I think it would have been okay. And that's the beauty of a list show, is as long as if you call it a list show and you have a list, then you've connected it.
Right.
Okay. That's good. So then is the interstitial, the stuff connecting everything together and making it something that people like, is it just having interesting conversation?
Yeah, I think you could. I could imagine you doing this where you've got a little bit of sound separating each of the numbers. You could even, you know, potentially do some sound effects on the like number four, and then one of you introduces that, and then you have your conversation to bring out the element of, you know, why this is tricky and why this is interesting. You could not do conversations if the conversations aren't working. I would maybe try it with conversations, because that's dynamic. But if you're like, this is just too wordy, it's too lengthy, if you're not able to make it work, you can just do alternating voices where Bobby does one, Kristen does the next, et cetera, and do right. your conversations at the top and the bottom. That's an option you could go with.
That's true.
Yeah. I think we're going to try conversation. We feel like the simple
it's
fact
our
that
strength.
We're the two of us have been together since for the whole time, we feel like we have some chemistry that we
yeah want to yeah no it. And I think that's the right instinct. Your trick, your obstacle there is going to be having less than 2 minutes per item to discuss. So you're going to have to figure out how to have a good discussion that's really efficient. Which is totally doable.
This week is 15 minutes, so we're
I thought it was still only 10. Do we have a clarification on that, Brian?
It is 15 minutes.
It is 15. Okay. I was misinformed. I apologize. Okay. Well, then it's not as much of a burden. It's still a limited amount of time, but yeah.
For sure.
That gives you a little more breathing room. That's good.
Yeah.
We figured it wasn't enough time to do, I have a top five, Bobby has a top five, and converse on that. So it's definitely like, hey, this is what we agree on, and this is how we sound confident on it.
Both of you having a top five would be confusing. People would be like, why am I getting two fives in a single one? Yeah, 15 minutes, almost too long for a five. You could go seven, maybe. You've got flexibility there. Because the other thing is, even if you have more room for conversation, you don't want that conversation to drag it. One of the things about a list show is it needs to keep moving. Because people always are like, okay, that's number five. What's number four? Or depending on what direction you're going with the numbers, right? Yeah. They always want to know what the next one is.
Let's listen in on their work sessions.
Yeah, and I don't know that we need to be explicit with criteria. I think that'll shake out once we start like digging into actually creating the episode and what we want it to seem like. I don't think that's a decision we have to make yet. But I do think that like framing what we're talking about would be important. Like with vacuum cleaners, we'd say, all right, so we're talking about vacuum cleaners today. We're going to get you guys the next vacuum cleaner that you need to put on your Amazon wish lists that your in-laws can get you for Christmas. Christmas is coming up. And we're going to be looking at, suction power. We're going to be looking at how much damage it does to your shag carpet. And we're going to be looking at, stuff like that. And these are the things we're going to be looking at. And we're going to try to find you the best ones. And blah, blah, blah. And we won't necessarily have to say like I give it a, and maybe we would though. I give it a this score on this. But that's not the focus. The focus is the conversation we have about it. And I say this having not really listened to any, but I feel like the point of a list show has got to be, to make an excuse to be having a fun and interesting conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It just gives you an excuse,
All right.
Okay.
Overthinking for the win.
Yeah. I think that really this yesterday really was a case of overthinking because it sent us down that path of that was just ending up self-help,
Yeah.
And that's.
But I think if we just keep it a list show and just be like top. Interesting facts about the brain or something along those lines and then just having our podcast name be something like listology or something, I don't know, him saying that it was good for it to just be clear and concise, a list show, at least gets us out of the mindset of like, oh, what do we name it, what do we do with it, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
There you are, happily walking through life, saying hello to the neighbors, smelling the daisies. But did you know that all the while your brain is lying to you, keeping secrets and making adjustments to the way that you perceive the world around you so that nothing is what it seems? Well, don't worry, because today we're giving you the details on the five ways your brain is lying to you every day. Get ready for the Science List Show. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Science! Welcome to the Science List Show. I'm your host, Bobby Frankenberger, and here with me is my number one in the top 10 list of science co-hosts, Kristen Stubblefield.
Well, good day, sir. Thank you for that grand introduction. I often find myself lost in thought, specifically about the brain.
Well, what a coincidence, Kristen, because today we are talking about the brain. Did you know that your brain is constantly lying to you every day?
I did, Bobby, and we've compiled a list to explain those pesky fallacies.
We have the 5 ways your brain is telling you lies all the time, every single day. Let's get to it. Number 1. Optical illusions. Now, Kristen, you know what an optical illusion is, right?
Those things that you stare at until you get cross-eyed.
Right. Like a magic eye. Literally, I get cross-eyed. I think you have to get cross-eyed to look at those. or like the 2 lines that you're supposed to look at that are supposed to be parallel, but they look curved, you know, like all sorts of optical illusions. Basically, an optical illusion is something that deceives the eye by appearing other than what it really is.
Not just fun and games. They work because our brain is flawed and imperfect. When you are staring at a series of lines and they start to appear as if they're moving.
Right. Like there's those lines of spirals and whatnot that look like they're spinning or pulsating or something like that. Now, it's trickier than that even. Optical illusions don't just work because of shapes and lines that are tricky and hard to look at. There are actually many optical illusions that work because of a fundamental and kind of scary property of your brain. And that is that your brain hates randomness in the world. So it will invent things for you to see.
Okay.
Let me give you an example that'll make that more clear. Take the random shapes we see in clouds or on burnt toast. Our brain isn't just delivering that sensory input directly to us like we think it is. Instead, it's interpreting that information first. And that's a pretty scary thought. It's not an exaggeration either. Once the brain has an idea of what it should be seeing, it works very hard to make sure that it does see that thing in a very literal way. There's a feedback loop that exists in the visual systems of our brains. It's sort of like a Photoshop loop.
Okay.
Your brain sees a random shape of burnt toast, for example, and that signal goes to your brain. And then when a suggestion is made that it looks like Jesus, for example, your brain says, oh, it's Jesus. Okay. And that signal goes back through that Photoshop feedback loop. And your brain photoshops your perception of the toast and makes it look more like Jesus and then sends the signal to your conscious awareness. So, and you see this all the time with auditory illusions also. When you first hear an audio file played backwards, it doesn't sound like anything, right? But then when someone tells you that it says, thank you, Satan, then suddenly you can't not hear that anymore. And that's quite literally because your brain is altering the sound and making it sound more like that before it sends it back to your awareness. It's a pretty scary thought that you can't trust your brain with something even so simple as that.
Okay, so understanding optical illusion is clearly step one in the misinformation your brain is giving you.
Yes, that's the first thing to understand how your brain is lying to you.
Number 2.
Change blindness. Sure, our brain can make us see things that aren't really there, like in optical illusions, but another way your brain lies to you constantly is through a perceptual error called change blindness.
Yes. Change blindness is this phenomenon where the brain often fails to notice when something in front of you is changing. Okay? So a new piece of information enters the scene, something enters in or even is removed, and you just don't notice the change. A classic experiment demonstrating this was done back in the 70s called the invisible gorilla test. Some people may have heard of. Have you heard of the invisible gorilla test, Kristen?
That's that video I'm watching where I'm paying attention to people passing a sports ball back and forth, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. So back in 1975, Daniel Simons and Christopher Chabris did this experiment for the first time, and it's been repeated a lot since then, where subjects are asked to watch a scene of basketball players passing several basketballs back and forth between each other. Some of the players will be wearing like white shirts and some will be wearing black shirts. And the experimenters ask the subjects, pay attention to those people in the white shirts. Watch how many times they pass basketballs between each other. Ignore the other ones, but pay attention to these guys and count it up. So it gives you a task to pay attention to, right? Then they had a man in a gorilla suit just walk casually, a man in a gorilla suit now, walk casually through these basketball players. And after that was all said and done, they asked the subjects, did you notice anything unusual happen during the time you were counting these basketball passes? Believe it or not, 50% of people reported that they didn't see anything unusual. They were blind to the change that was happening right in front of them.
Huh. Okay. The relevancy between that is eyewitness testimony in a crime, or driving safely. Driving distracted, even just a little bit, can cause a major accident that you might not even be able to recall 100% accurately.
Yeah, exactly. Eyewitness testimony, like you said, too. Those are big deals. These are scary consequences of the lies that your brain is telling you.
Number three.
Your brain sucks at remembering things. Another way our brain is lying to us every day is in making us believe that our memories are at all reliable, because they aren't.
You kind of only remember the last time you remembered said memory that you're remembering.
Right. So that's a convoluted way. I think what you're saying, Kristen, is what it boils down to is that your brain is not, it doesn't work like a tape recorder.
That's a DVD player for anybody over the age of 30.
Right. So let's just say a computer. Your brain doesn't work like a computer, right? You're not like storing something into computer memory.
Okay.
And then recalling it perfectly later. It's more analogous to say that your memory works like a couple of old guys sitting in rocking chairs on a front porch that you walk up to and ask, right? That like, tell me about Christmas when I was 12. And they're going to argue about it. They're going to try to remember the details incorrectly. And the story's going to change every single time. That's a better analogy for how your brain works.
So the more you recall the memory, the more it's likely to change and be incorrect.
Exactly. And the reason for that is because of the biology of how your brain recalls and stores memories in the first place. Every time you recall a memory, it's the way your brain lights up in like fMRI studies is similar to the way your brain lit up the very first time you experienced it. So your brain is in many ways experiencing your memory again, just like it did the first time. You can smell and hear memories all the time, right, Kristen?
Absolutely. But yeah. It also would lead to, again, false confessions, false memories, and as we stated before, false eyewitness testimonies.
Right, exactly. And it's because we can implant false memories into people very easily, because the way that when we recall those memories, we have to restore that memory back into our brains and use the same pathways the second and third and fourth time you store it back into your memory as you did the first time, and it's all subject
to short-term memory
error. Yes, exactly.
Number four.
Your brain makes you the center of attention. If you've ever been in a social situation and thought that clearly everyone is staring at you, this is, again, your brain lying to you. You know, like, when you're at the gym and everyone is watching you while you waddle quickly on the treadmill. That's not honest. It's called the spotlight effect.
Yeah, the spotlight effect, appropriately named because you feel like you are the spotlight. A spotlight is on you and you're the center of attention, right? It's the tendency for people to think that they're noticed more often than they really are being noticed.
It's sort of the reversal of change blindness.
Yeah, that's a really good way to think about it, Kristen. So change blindness that we just talked about being that in reality, people don't notice things that change because they're paying attention to something else. Something changes and you're not likely to remember to notice it. So when you walk into a crowded room and you trip down the steps, you think everybody just saw that happen, but they didn't, Kristen. You're not the center of the world. You know, it didn't happen that way. Just get over yourself.
It's clearly my ego.
Right. Yeah, it is. You think everybody must be looking at you, but they aren't.
Number five.
Cognitive biases are another way that your brain is lying to you every day. So we have these biases that exist in our thinking for a variety of reasons. They're shortcuts in the way that we process information.
Some are to protect our self-esteem.
Yes, to protect your self-esteem, your ego. Some are to help you remember important events. Cognitive biases are just errors in thinking that your brain commits by filtering information or adjusting the details that you pay attention to, all in an attempt to make it easier for you to make decisions, mind you, not necessarily better decisions, but like you don't have time to analyze all that data all the time. We're not Vulcans, right? We don't have that kind of a brain, but cognitive biases are just systematic errors in the way your brain handles information. A common one that you've probably heard of, tell me if this is true, is confirmation bias. Have you heard of that?
Oh, absolutely. It's not using the data to accurately analyze the information given. Instead, you would use the data given to find fault with the facts that you don't agree with. It's a tendency to pay closer attention to information that confirms your existing beliefs.
Right, exactly. Pre-existing beliefs are confirmation bias confirms them. That's the confirmation part. There's also fun ones. There's several of them. We'll talk about a couple that fall into a group called attribution errors.
That's cause and effect in the correlation between actions.
Right. That's where the attribution comes from. Our brain has this sort of insatiable desire to make sense of the world around us. It doesn't like ambiguity. So we have this overwhelming need to assign causes to any of the things that we observe in the world. Even when those causes don't have any evidence or don't exist at all. A common one that people use is called the fundamental attribution error. This is a common bias that you deal with in your brain. It's the tendency to assign personality-based explanations for someone's behavior instead of like situational ones. You look for fundamental personality traits that are causing a person to do what they do. They're fundamentally wrong things with that person.
So when somebody cuts me off in traffic and I automatically just assume that they're more important than I am.
Right. Or at least that they think they're more important than you, right? Like you assume that that person must be some kind of huge jerk for cutting you off in traffic. Right. But we do that, right? Like that's what we do. Instead of thinking about what could be the reality, which is maybe they did it on accident, or maybe they're rushing their pregnant spouse to the hospital. And it's like when we yell at we see a mother yelling at their kids in a store, and what do we assume, Kristen?
That they're horrible parents?
Right, exactly. Instead of thinking, like, maybe we don't know all the things that led up to that kid being the way that they are, and that parent is just snapped. There's also the group attribution error.
Okay.
There is it's a tendency to assume that the characteristics of an individual in a group represent that group as a whole, right? And you see this all the time with politics.
So Republican versus liberal.
Yes. So it's that time that you realize that the person you just accepted a friend request from on Facebook, they just shared a Republican meme. So you assume every negative stereotype about Republicans, you assume that person now has all of those characteristics. They have all the negative characteristics of that group. They're racist, they're religious nut jobs, the stereotypes, right? That's probably not true about that person.
I would agree with that.
So all the different ways that your brain is lying to you every day, it's there you have it. The five ways your brain is lying to you every day. It's really important to know and understand that your brain is flawed. It's not a perfect machine in our heads with turning cogs and gears. It's not a computer that takes input and produces a perfect output. Because really, it's like a lump of slimy, fatty, gooey mass that's sitting inside your skull. it's floating in the hot dog water in your brain, right? There's like it's utilizing a Rube Goldberg machine of sensory organs like your eyes and ears to take information about the world around us and then do things with that. Like try to send rockets to the moon, if you can believe it, or like we just talked about, condemning your coworker as a pile of worthless garbage because they retweeted a Republican.
I might have done that.
Yeah, we all have. It's okay. but we have to do better than that, right? We have to be better people, better decision makers, better consumers, better friends, really. And the first step in doing that is understanding that your brain is tragically flawed.
But the good news is, so is everyone else's. So at least you're not alone.
Right, exactly. So thank you for listening to this episode today. We will see you next week on the Science List Show, where we're going to be talking about the five scariest colors to see in your toilet and what to do about it.
Clearly, don't miss that one.
Not at all. It's going to be really important. So tune in, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
That was the Science List Show, the list-based podcast entry from Stick Figure Squad. On the next episode, it's our judging and elimination episode where we crown a winning team, a player goes home, and we check off all of our boxes. It's all coming up this week on America's Next Top Podcaster.